North Pole Hotline.
Help! My in-laws are hosting Thanksgiving, and we're bringing the dressing.
You mean stuffing?
No, dressing. I need cute outfits for everyone.
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's kicking off the holidays with stylish denim, velvet tops, the season's best dresses, and 40% off your entire purchase now through Tuesday.
40% off? We'll be stuffing our shopping bags full.
And don't forget colorful sweaters and amazing outerwear, too. You can even buy online and pick up in store for free.
Ooh, I love an all-you-can-wear buffet.
Holiday your heart out at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 11/18 to 11/20. Exclusions apply. See stores for details.
This is Michelle Moreland with Variety Radio Online. In today's society, there are many controversial topics out there. One of them is the anti-vaccination movement. And today I'm excited to talk to Miranda Bailey, director and producer of the documentary The Pathological Optimist. This documentary centers around Andrew Wakefield, a British doctor and a researcher who is credited to sort of starting this movement. So welcome, Miranda. So, first of all, tell us or tell the listeners a little bit why you were intrigued about this topic to pursue doing this documentary with Andrew Wakefield. What nudged you in that direction before you even spoke with him? What was some of those feelings that led you there?
Thanks for asking. As a filmmaker, I'm always interested in kind of controversial topics. Sometimes things that are a little taboo, or also looking at the world in a way where you can not just look at what you're told, but like look around for what you're told. So I had done a previous documentary called Greenlit, and it was during the time where there was a big kind of push in Hollywood to go green, but no one really knew what that meant. And so I kind of did this documentary about, all right, so what is going green and what is this? And like finding out that actually you kind of can't go green in Hollywood, and kind of exposing a little bit of the hypocrisy within our own industry and within our own selves as to, you know, what can we do to you know, do work as hard as we can to, you know, make a difference. And then are we really willing to go all the way that far? And if not, how far are we? And is that good enough? And so it's just kind of complicated. Again, another something that's not quite black. It's not quite white. And I think that I was interested in Dr. Andrew Wakefield as a subject for a character study because there were two very different narratives that I had heard about him. So I had heard that he was, you know, really a horrible man who is a fraud, who, you know, is one of the reasons people aren't getting vaccines and therefore, you know, diseases are coming back because he's telling everyone not to get vaccinated and he's a liar and all these things. And then I heard this other narrative where it was like, no, he's telling our truth. He's standing up for mothers who have experienced vaccine injury in their kids, and actually he didn't say that, he was just talking about this one thing. And so it was really complicated. There was two very different stories out there, and I guess I just wanted to see what it would be like, you know, inside him, in his life, with how he lives with those two narratives that exist around him. And it, essentially that's what the movie is. And, you know, it does follow, you know, a path of, you know, you get to see, like, what all the controversy is about, in the sense of, like, it does tell the MMR scandal story that was written about in Britain in 2004 and then subsequently again in 2011. It does address all of the allegations of why he lost his license and, you know, kind of puts him on the post to answer for himself. You know, what he thinks about it. And it also follows him in his life, you know, like you don't know this, the camera's there and, you know, with his kids, with his wife, with his friends, you know, doing his everyday work as he's, you know, also trying to raise money for a defamation case that he can file because he feels that he's been defamed by the British Medical Journal and stands very strongly against that he is a fraud and does not believe that he is a fraud at all. So it was a interesting, eye-opening, long, arduous, protracted process.
How long did you film following Andrew's family?
Andrew's family, I'd say from 2012 to 2015, 16, I think. And then Andrew, before that, I was following him without necessarily, you know, knowing what the movie was in 2010 and 11.
Okay, so a good 5 or 6 years of documentation and filming.
Footage from 2010 all the way to 2016.
Okay, so that's a good 6 years. So how long? That's a lot of footage and a lot of time.
Well, I didn't follow him every day.
How long did you go through the post production?
Well, that took forever. I mean, you're kind of going through it as you do it, you know. So with like a narrative film, you shoot and then you edit and you go to post. With a documentary, I find that you shoot and you edit and you shoot and you edit and you shoot and you edit, and you're constantly it's just like a giant puzzle, you know, that you're. Because inevitably you want it to be a movie, you want to tell an engaging story, you don't want to bore everyone.
Right. I thought you did a really good job of staying in the middle and not, as the producer and as the director, you didn't like, you were not biased as on this side of it. You just showed exactly what it was, what he was feeling, what he was dealing with. How difficult was it for you to stay neutral? I felt like you stayed neutral for, you know, throughout, and that seemed like it had to be difficult, I think, at times.
Well, I think the hardest part about staying neutral, I mean, it's weird because neutral feels like it doesn't feel like the right word for me necessarily, but staying out of my opinion being a part of the screen is the kind of movies I like to watch. You know, I'm interested in presenting things that are not necessarily my opinion, but they just exist and everyone else can have an opinion. And that's something that's exciting for me because right now everyone has so many opinions and it seems that social media is all about just shouting them at other people who may or may not want to listen. And it's kind of irritating, honestly, but I think the hardest part.
Well, you did a great job.
Thank you. The hardest part of me about me staying neutral, as you would call it, is that, you know, it's very offensive to people who feel strongly one way or the other about him that I did not, you know, eventually make my opinion, whatever it was, either their opinion or present. So there's a lot of reading into it. So there's a lot of – I seem to have made a documentary that – you know, people who hate Andrew Wakefield wish I would have said more of that he was bad and whatever, and said that I think he's bad. And people who love Andrew Wakefield feel the same way. They just wish I would have said more. So everyone wanted me to make a different movie.
Well, I have to say I appreciate it because I don't have children, so this is not necessarily a controversy that comes up in mine and my family's daily topic of things we talk about. And so I really didn't have an opinion one way or the other because it's not something I have to deal with. But I like to be educated and I like to know where things are coming from and where our society's going. And I really felt like you did a good job of just supporting me, and you helped the middle ground for me, and I truly appreciate that because I thought you did a really good job. And I do get where people get very strong on one side or the other, and I could see where they probably weren't happy with it, but I thought you did a very, very good job of just showing this is someone's life, this is what he's going through, and you know, it's not perfect. He wasn't perfect. There's good and bad, and I truly appreciate that.
Thanks. I think that's really interesting just in human nature. You know, that's why people are fascinated with criminals or whatever. You know, like Tony Soprano, you know, if you watch The Sopranos, everyone loved him, but he was like a freaking, you know, he was a bad guy. O.J. Simpson, and it's interesting. It's interesting that good people can do bad things and bad people can do good things, and you know, where's the line and how do you cross it and all that stuff. This is a little different. It's not like it was a crime, but
right. But it's definitely got a lot of heavy opinions around the world in different areas for families. So over those years, did you ever question this documentary? Like, okay, do I need to stop? Do I need to go forward? And how did you kind of overcome those moments when you're like, where are we really headed? Are we getting the right stuff? How did you as a director and a producer like sit back and think, okay, yes, this is the way we're headed, and get over some of those hurdles? Because there had to be those moments when you kind of questioned which way it was going or where you were headed with the movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was challenging. It's hard because, you know, you could have easily made this a hit piece on Andrew Wakefield, and you could have easily made this a fluff piece on Andrew Wakefield with the footage that we have, you know, and so it definitely was not easy trying to keep a story engaging, make sure you have all the correct facts and historical, you know, dates and stuff, and then also not lean into, you know, one side or another the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but feel a lot of sympathy towards the people who really believe that Andrew is someone out there that's helping them and feeling for them, because most of these people are women who have been dismissed by the, you know, men and other women when they have witnessed an injury to their children. And I think that that is really sad, and I think it's really sad that society as a whole is too afraid to look at that as a reality. Now, that doesn't necessarily say or mean or lead to that vaccines cause autism, but there are populations of children that are getting hurt, and these mothers are the ones who are, as you pointed out in your intro, are kind of creating this anti-vaccine movement. They were people who used to be pro-vaccine, and then something bad happened, and then nobody listened to them, and then they got angry, and now they're finding more people like them, and that's how it's growing. I don't think Andy is the leader of it. I know that that's maybe what I thought when I was starting, but he isn't. He's definitely someone they put up on a pedestal, though, because he believes them, and he was a doctor. I guess technically he still is a doctor. No one can take his degree away. But so I think that he is helpful to them, but I don't believe what the media says, it's that it's him who's causing all this harm, because that's not what I would.
I feel like, too, the women or the families that are, again, like you kind of said, it's kind of tough to say it's the movement or people having their opinion and that are anti. It's they also, their children are injured or hurt or suffering in some form. They want answers, and they want correction, or they want support. And, you know, they're not going, and they don't get it. And so, therefore, they're seeking what is the reason or what is, you know, what could be helpful. And I think that's where some of them come together, is because it's a bond of, you know, emotions of what they're going through.
Yeah. Well, they're support. They become their own support groups, you know, like we do with like pain management support groups, or, you know, drug addict support groups, stuff like that. When you find like-minded people who are going through your same fears and pains, then you kind of bond together. And that's what's happened here. But like, there's a lot of fear going around. Like, I had dinner in New York the other day with this woman who I love, and she's amazing, and she's in the public health industry in New York, and she watched the movie, and she loved the movie, but she was like, it was so scary. I was really freaked out. I was really scared. That guy is just a creep. you know, hey, it's the worst. And I was like, wow, it's really interesting that you say that, because so some other people look at the movie and they're like, he's amazing, he's been wronged, whatever. It's like everyone nowadays is looking for whatever art they're looking at, or books they're reading, or internet websites they're reading, or whether they're watching CNN or Fox, they're all looking for views that support the views they already have, because it's very uncomfortable for people to open up their minds and possibly think, maybe I don't know everything.
I'm in Georgia, so, you know, the film industry is kind of booming here, and I've worked on a couple of indie films, and I kind of understand budgets and understand kind of the format of where they're headed. Now, with this documentary, how did, over that long of a period of time, how did the budget and the overall kind of conception to pull off this project, how does that work? You know, it's intriguing that it's a different angle than just a short indie film or a five-minute film or a full feature production. So how does that financially kind of work? Do you get backers? And are there, you know, is it done a similar way?
Well, I mean, I'm fortunate enough that my company has its own production financing. So we, you know, where we finance movies like, you know, narrative movies like Norman with Richard Gere or this movie, you know, it's like we have financing. Now, this did take, this was like a building an extension to your kitchen. So it cost, you know, twice as much and took twice as long as we thought it would.
The I thought your cinematographer did a great job. And the lighting, I thought also you did a really good job with lighting to affect the moods. So how hard, because, again, you're following someone in their family, how hard or difficult was it to make those changes, to get the light right? Because you don't get, like, a lot of retakes necessarily, or you can adjust all the lighting or the setup. So I thought your crew did a great job. How difficult was it to get those shots or to retake to get the right lighting to set some of the moods that I felt you did a great job with?
Well, you know, I think we also just got very lucky. You know, we had just kind of a basic package of lighting and camera. We had a very good camera that has a big iris that opened up pretty wide. So we had that. We had talented cameraman. And so that was really helpful. But, you know, a lot of stuff was done in the color correction. So you're able to kind of add a little bit more, I'd say, ambiance and whatnot in that post, and make it feel a little bit more yellow, you know, or a little bit more lighter, you know, like, you know, that kind of stuff. But we didn't,
well,
you know, there wasn't retakes. It was just, camera was just rolling. So there was never any do it again.
Now, you didn't go, because you did stay kind of in the middle ground of the storyline and following him, you didn't extremely bring in opinions against or opinions for. Was there a reason, like, not to bring in – what was your reason in thinking behind not bringing in the opposite views to kind of show the viewer the different angles outside of just what you were doing with him?
Well, initially we did want to do that, but we were not able to get any people who, let's say, you'd say are related to the story but against him to talk to us, because, you know, I think that they've been kind of already down that kind of rabbit hole with people that they thought were going to express them, make them look good, and kind of ended up making them look bad. And I understand that. I don't think that's the right thing to do. And so we couldn't get them, but we had, you know, very easy access to get people who were supportive of Wakefield. And so that's where it kind of becomes this question of, well, what do you do if all you have is this? And then that's kind of how it becomes a character study, because you have to kind of use what you have. And, you know, we did want, you know, Brian Deere to participate. He was in America during one of the filming, and we did reach out and try to get him to do it, but that did not work out.
Yeah, I actually did go and kind of read through all of that, and that was very interesting. And so I guess I didn't know if that was just one angle, but then I kind of, as I read all that, and I found that very interesting, and also appreciate you posting it because it gave us a total view of everything, if you really wanted to try and do those both sides, because I thought that would have been probably the only thing that takeaway is if you stayed very neutral, for lack of a better word. I thought you stayed in the middle and you did a great job, but maybe have given us, 5 minutes of one side and 5 minutes of the other would have been kind of, or objectives would have been kind of neat to add to it. But I see it sounds like that was more difficult than it could have was. So it sounds like it was difficult.
it could have worked if it was, I think it could have worked if it was people who are specifically related to his story, not just like a random doctor, and even the random doctors we had tried to get to talk to us and they wouldn't. So, but a lot of them have conflicts of interest, so it's, I wasn't able, there were people on the pro Andy side, we'll call it, that wouldn't talk to us either unless we could promise that this was going to come down in favor of him, and we couldn't do that either. So I didn't.
Right.
So, yeah. But,
makes sense.
Movies are, movies to me are, I'm not like, I like the story and the character, and I think his story and his character is really fascinating and interesting. And the character of his wife is very interesting. And the story of them as a couple, I thought, was very interesting. And so to have some random talking head say what we already hear in the news every day, that vaccines don't cause autism, didn't really seem like it would make the movie a better movie.
That makes sense. No, that makes really, I appreciate that. As a director, and you've done many movies you have many things under your belt. What do you feel like was your biggest challenge as a director with this film?
Finding the courage, I think, to stay myself despite being pulled in both directions to honor someone else's vision. I think that was hard, and I was, because there's so much vitriol out there, I was very afraid that people might not understand that I'm a filmmaker and that my movies are just supposed to make people think, but they aren't supposed to tell them what to think. And some people don't like that. So for me, the hardest thing was kind of coming to terms with myself and trying to remain myself in this whole thing.
Well, I'll applaud you again. It was a lot of time, I believe, that you dedicated to it, to bring us a very, very intriguing and felt movie, a heartfelt movie that, was something that, again, we may have not taken time to look at until you put it out there for us, and I appreciate that. Congratulations also on some of your awards already, and, I hope that it continues to be very, very successful. How can our listeners have access to it? What are some options for them?
Well, I would love it if your listeners would see the movie because I worked really hard on it. It is it's everywhere right now. It's playing in theaters, and you can see the list of theaters right now on our website, which is thepathologicaloptimistfilm.com. It's playing all over America and Canada. And then it also is available on your computer or your cable television. So you can watch it on demand on pretty much every platform, and Amazon and iTunes, Google Play, Hulu, Time Warner, it's everywhere right now. And so it's great. And actually, there's a special promotion right now until the 24th of December, where it's only 99 cents on iTunes to rent. So I would do that one.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you, one, for being it's always nice talking to a female director, one who's out there, you know, continuing you guys to pave our way for all of us to have wonderful options in the film industry, and for bringing us also a great documentary that was definitely enlightened to me, who, again, I'm kind of outside this topic, but I definitely enjoyed your take and how you portrayed everything through it. So, congratulations, and thank you so much for your time and everything you put into this movie. You did a great job.
Thank you, and thank you so much for considering having me on your show. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
You too. Bye-bye.
Holiday your heart out at Old Navy. Today only, all outerwear and all tees are 50% off. Plus, get 40% off your entire purchase at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Outerwear and tees valid 11/18, 40% valid 11/15 to 11/20. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
North Pole Hotline. Help! My in-laws are hosting Thanksgiving, and we're bringing the dressing.
You mean stuffing?
No, dressing. I need cute outfits for everyone.
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's kicking off the holidays with stylish denim, velvet tops, the season's best dresses, and 40% off your entire purchase now through Tuesday.
40% off? We'll be stuffing our shopping bags full.
And don't forget colorful sweaters and amazing outerwear, too. You can even buy online and pick up in store for free.
Ooh, I love an all-you-can-wear buffet.
Holiday your heart out at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
Valid 11/18 to 11/20. Exclusions apply. See stores for details.